Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Each year, one of the traditions of our church is to pick a watchword. A watchword is a verse of scripture that we hope will take us through the year. We pick out personal watchwords and a watchword for the congregation. And this year's watchword comes from Psalm 90. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. Now, in Psalm 90, it says that this was a prayer of Moses, the man of God. It's attributed to Moses. And I had to wonder, when did he pray this particular prayer? Because if you read the book of Psalm 90, you find that the prayer is quite poignant. It talks about the fleetingness of life, and that we are like a breath in the wind, and we might be privileged to live 70 or 80 years, and then we fly away. And it tells us to teach us to number our days. And then at the very end says, please prosper the work of our hands. In other words, make our work count for something. Now, I wonder when he prayed this prayer. I don't think it was when he was with Pharaoh, asking for Pharaoh to let his people go. I imagine the prayer was, A, help me not to be killed by Pharaoh, and B, I hope that what I say has some meaning. I don't think it was when the people of Israel were chased across the Red Sea. I'm not sure it was then. I have a feeling the prayer then was, oh my, we're all gonna die unless you do something now. I think that was the prayer. I'm not sure it was the prayer when they were searching for food or water in the wilderness. In fact, the prayers then were usually Moses yelling at God because the people were yelling at Moses. I have a feeling that this prayer was happening as the decades rolled on. For you see, after the great liberation from Egypt, the people were in the wilderness for 40 years, trying to figure out who they were, trying to figure out how to form a nation, trying to figure out all the different skills that they would need just to stay alive in a foreign land. And in fact, it wasn't until Moses reached a very old age and was on a mountaintop ready to die that he looked over to see the promised land that the next generation was going to inherit. So I would think that maybe at year 20, he prayed this prayer and said, Lord, please will your favor be upon us, and can you establish the work of our hands? All the work we're doing now, will you make it mean something? And you see, this prayer implies a covenant. Because yes, we want God's favor, but the only way of God's favor is to continue to work. The work of our hands. If we give up, if they had given up at year 20, we would not have their story. But they kept on, even though they did not see the promise for many decades. This is a story, the story of the Exodus was a story that was repeated during the civil rights movement. You remember Martin Luther King Jr. talked about Moses and the promised land, and you remember his famous speech when he said, I might not get there with you, but I've seen the promised land. I was looking up some of the major historical facts about the civil rights movement, and I looked up the Montgomery boycott because I thought that's a good example of people who had tenacity. And the overarching story, we all know that Rosa Parks got arrested and that African Americans in Montgomery went on a boycott. They were successful after a year, and then all those awful laws were rolled back. But there's more to the story. Yes, it did last a year, and the people of Montgomery took their feet and walked all over, and churches from all over the nation would send shoes to their brothers and sisters in Montgomery so that when their shoes wore out, they had more shoes. People carpooled. Well, what a wonderful inventive thing to carpool. The city leaders were so incensed that they persuaded insurance companies to drop people who were carpooling so that there'd be no insurance. So the boycott leaders had to petition Lloyd's of London to get insurance. Martin Luther King Jr.'s house and Ralph Abernathy's house were firebombed, and four black Baptist churches were also firebombed. Boycotters were often physically attacked. After the attack on King's house, 300 people amassed around that house, incensed, ready to take up arms. And Dr. King walked out of his house, and this is what he said: "If you have weapons, take them home. If you do not have them, please do not seek to get them. We cannot solve this problem through retaliatory violence. We must love our white brothers no matter what they do to us. We must make them know that we love them. Jesus still cries out in words that echo across the centuries, 'Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you.' This is what we must live by. We must meet hate with love. Remember, if I am stopped, this movement will not stop, because God is with the movement. Go home with this glowing faith and this radiant assurance." King and 89 other boycott leaders and carpool drivers were indicted for conspiring to interfere with a business. So rather than wait to be arrested, they all turned themselves in. After a year, there was victory. This went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they were given the right to sit anywhere they wanted on a bus. But with victory came spasms of violence. Snipers fired into buses. Five black churches were destroyed. New punitive laws were passed. 2 years after they won the right to sit where they wanted, the city passed this ordinance that it was unlawful for white and colored persons to play together or in company with each other in any game of, and they list it, cards, dice, dominoes, checkers, pool, billiards, softball, basketball, baseball, football, golf, track, swimming pools, beaches, lakes, or ponds, or any other games or athletic contests, either indoors or outdoors. So there. In the years that followed, with violence, they never knew when they get on the bus if there was a person with a rifle aiming in their sights. Most people of color began to sit at the back of the bus. Why? Well, wouldn't you? Every time they get on a bus, they took their life in their hands. Make our work count for something. It was a decade later that the Civil Rights Act was passed. Imagine they all had gone home. Imagine when the protesters marched and the hoses were turned on them if they said, you know what, we have to give up. But they didn't. When leaders were killed, they still went out. Make our work count for something means that we must continue even when we do not see any forward movement. So we continue in our homes to speak words of peace and grace even when we see nothing happening. We continue in our community to raise up people who are oppressed even when we don't see any forward movement. We continue to model the grace and love of Jesus no matter what. make our words and our life count for something. So what does that mean for Ephraim Moravian Church this year? What are the works of our hands? Well, one of the works of our hands is raising up the next generation. Because we know in this peninsula that the children that we raise will have to fly off to college and beyond and probably cannot stay here. And we want them to leave knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are loved by Almighty God, that when we can no longer hold their hands, that the hand of Almighty God goes with them, that they were put on this planet for a purpose, and their purpose is to bless everywhere they go. What are the works of our hands? It's to help those in Door County who are suffering. And if we cannot help, if we don't have the resources, then our job is to help the churches that do. And so we partner with the churches and we partner with other entities so that we can bless those in Northern Door who are struggling. We call ourselves the Church of the Open Door, and one of the things we want to do is swing these doors so wide that they might fall off their hinges, opening the door up to grace and peace and mercy. We want to swing the doors open so that when tourists come in here, if they come in to worship, that they're blessed. But even if they come just to tour a beautiful historic building, that in those moments, they can rest their weary souls and find rest and solace and comfort in these walls. There are things that we hope to happen that might take generations. We might never see the results of our work of our hands. But the prayer always is, make our work count for something. And if we are laboring here, the God of all the ages will take those things that are worthy, will take those things that are good and pure and holy, and will prosper them. Sometimes we will see it, but all the time we will see the results at some time or another. Maybe our children will see them. And so that is our prayer for 2019, that God's favor would be upon this church, that the work of our hands would be established, and that we would continue to thrive and help our community to thrive, that we would open the doors of this church wider and wider. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for all the people who in our past have opened the doors of this church. We thank you for the people who have opened the doors for justice in our nation. We thank you for all of those who have been called with a holy calling that did not give up, even when they did not see results. And we ask, O Lord, that your favor would be upon this assembly this year, and that as we are faithful, we will see the work of our hands being established, that we will count for something in this church and in this community. In Jesus' name, amen.